sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Man, nique ta mère. Nique ta mère. Pardon? On enregistre? Hey, sorry. Okay, all right. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzak on Twitter, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web. Yes, on the web. FYI, and reminder for returning guests, that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on October 2nd, that is correct, 2022, 5:31 p.m. in the afternoon. Yes, we're off to a late start. And it's brought to you by the letter FW. Why FW? FW for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yay! All right. Welcome to episode 20. 4-5. 20. 4 times 5. 20. 2 times 10. 20. 30 minus 10. 20. 20. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Yes. 20. All right. This is like, I guess, a milestone for me. I was just thinking about while preparing for this episode. And criticizing myself, I mean, I don't know if I should be telling you this. Am I performing or am I journaling? I'm not performing. Fuck y'all. This ain't a performance. Fuck this, man. Exactly, man. If this was a porno flick, I'd be showing you the shit that goes on before it. All the parts that are not so sexy. But anyways, yeah, I'm distracted. Yeah, I was just thinking about how it was all a dream. I still remember a moment in therapy where my therapist was trying to get me to get back into podcasting. And I believe it was the beginning of this year, and we were trying to set milestone, and the idea of recording a podcast felt like, yeah, that shit's not gonna happen. It's like asking me, what are the chances of you accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior? No, that's a bad example, because that's very unlikely. But I remember her asking me, hey, how about you getting back into dating? It'd be like that. Because at the moment, if you ask me that right now, it's a firm no. Fuck that. No, hell no. But that's another longer conversation. But I just remember when she says, what are the odds? I can't remember the question, but it was the idea of, it just brought up the idea of publishing a podcast in 2022. This was at the beginning of this year. And that was like, in my mind, I was like, fuck that. Like, it scared me. It made me nervous. It wasn't supposed to happen. And it just naturally, as the months came along, I naturally got my groove back, I guess, as the kids might call it. Anyways, yeah. But all this to say, When I started this year, I never pictured, I didn't have the idea. I would have never believed. Is it belief? Was it a belief? Whatever. Yeah, let's go with belief. With that, it being a belief. I never had the thought or the possibility that I would be celebrating or that I'd be recording my 20th episode of the New Testament version of Shut Up Podcast. So I guess I'm tapping myself on the back for it. I don't usually tap myself on the back. It's this new habit I'm developing. I'm tapping myself on the back. And shout out to you if you've listened to all 20th episode, you are way more special than me. But right now, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about the fact that how I made it. I'm trying to sing a gospel song by, I'm not sure who the original or creator of that song, but I know the Blind Boys of Alabama, is that what they call? Is that the name of the band? Yeah, they sing that song. How I made it. Yeah, you know what? Fuck it, man. I'm just going to do this for myself, man. This is just for myself. I'm going to celebrate. This is the cheers for the 30th episode. Oh my God, B, are you high or what? No, the 20th episode. See, I can't multitask. I'm doing two things at the same time. 20th episode, all right? 20th episode? All right, come on, kids. Yes, that's right. Get off your seat. Get up from your seat. That's right. All right. There we go. And if you're celebrating a milestone yourself, I don't know, probably the first day where you can pee and it doesn't burn, that's for you. What's that? First day sober? Come on, that's for you. There we go. What else we celebrating? What? You finally got over your girlfriend or your ex? There we go. Fuck that bitch. Fuck that hoe. What else are we celebrating? Come on, man. Little something, man. Testify. Anyways, all right, okay. Let's start the show, man. I've wasted, you know what? Fuck it, man. I've wasted. I make the rules. 6 minutes in there. Okay. Before I explain the title of the show, you know what? I'm going to try something different real quick. For those of you listening to this episode, this show for the first time, this is how we do it on Shut Up Podcast. I start with an intro, talk some shit, usually talk about the title, what inspired me to come up with the title for today's episode. Yes, I make a big deal out of it. And I probably plug the last episode, which I will do in this one. Then I follow up with a segment called This Week in Therapy, where I specifically talk about, this ain't written down, but it's just shit going on in myself. Usually it's a product of therapy or something post-therapy or something that happened during therapy, or it's just some introspective thoughts, right? And then the last segment is called Random Thoughts. Random Thoughts is I'm all over the place. I'm sure introspective thoughts. I share my thoughts on a lot of shit. I'm just all over the place with random thoughts. So, all right. So let's just go. All right. So, before I start, I feel the need to plug episode 019. But in Milwaukee, there's a cannibal, and the title's in reference. Well, the title comes from a verse from X-Clan, the Mighty X-Clan, and it's in reference to that foul ass, cracker ass. Serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah, and it's in reference to the special that I finished watching. It's in reference to a special that Little Badass, is his name Little Badass Boosie, the rapper Boosie, the fucking homophobic rap guy who's unapologetic about that shit. Anyways, yeah, so Boosie doesn't want you to watch the movie. And what's fucked up is I'm not mad at him. Well, granted, I'm not sure if he doesn't want you to see the movie because he saw, you know, he goes, well, because there's a lot of gay shit in that movie, fuck that. But or he really is angry about the fact that look, I don't know what his problem, I don't know what his deal is, but Dahmer, what's the name of the title, the Netflix special on Jeffrey Dahmer. It's one of those Netflix shows that I won't go around recommending it But if you ask me if I watched it, I will. I will tell you I did watch it. Like, the Netflix has a lot of shows like that. It's not like it bothers me that some of the victims have come forward and say, "Yo, fuck that. This show just is no different than every other fucking product that came out about Jeffrey Dahmer." And look, man, I'm wasting too much time on this, right? The only reason I'm bringing up Jeffrey Dahmer and in reference to last episode is I just realized how I started out talking about Jeffrey Dahmer and I ended talking about Mahsa Amini, the woman who in Iran who was killed by the beaten to death by the morality police. Now the morality police claims that no, man, she came in fucked up. She was there when she got, but when she was in our care, she died. Like, I don't know, maybe she's allergic to the Quran. I don't know, whatever. But they came up with an excuse to why she died under their custody. But popular thinking is, hey, the assault, like, the, you know, they killed the woman. That's pretty much it. But what I'm getting at is, what got me, what I was reflecting on, and I really hope I'm not sounding like the preacher, like this is one of those, hey, I'm 14 and I think this is deep kind of thoughts. It's not my my intention to. I'm not making a point. What I'm about to say next, there's no point, and I'm just saying, I was thinking about how I started the episode talking about Dahmer and ended with Mahsa Amini, and I was thinking about how two people who are remembered after their death. And I don't know, it kills me that Dahmer was a shitty person. He's done some shitty things. But what made it, what's worse is, let's pretend that, you know, he was crazy or he was insane or whatever, right? It's what's worth talking about is the sexism, the racism, and the homophobia, all these isms, all these ills of society that made it possible for someone like him to do what he did for 10 years and get away with it. Man, what I'm trying to get at is, in reality, Dahmer does not deserve being remembered. But that's not the world we live in. Mahsa Amini, she deserves being remembered, but she didn't deserve being beaten to death. The life she lived, she did not deserve all that. Like, she's now a martyr. I don't know, man. Again, I'm not making a point. It's just one of those complicated things about life that gets me. It's like, I guess life was simple as a kid when they said good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. And and the possibility that Dahmer, because he accepted Christ. Okay, let me back up. I don't believe in heaven or hell. I'm just talking about how, I was just thinking about how life was simple when it was easy to just break things down into good people, bad people. Good people get good things, bad people get bad things. But the reality is, life is more complicated than that. Dahmer is, well, okay, so Dahmer died getting beaten to death in jail. No comments. I mean, hey, right on. And like that, but whatever. But him getting beaten to death doesn't, you know, bring back the victims. Him getting beaten to death doesn't, like, change all the fucking crimes. Like, I'm glad he got beaten to death, but I'm just saying it doesn't undo the shit that he did. Maybe I am glad that we're not, like, sure, he's dead now, but fuck, he's being remembered. Like, he's got series. People are taking an interest in this motherfucker's life. It just gets me. Meanwhile, I don't know if Mahsa Amini were to have a document. Is Netflix going to do a documentary about her? Will it be as popular? And if they do, will it be as popular as Dahmer's documentary? I mean, maybe I'm the one who's being negative, because I did see a lot of protests going on all, like, in even in Canada, I think in Toronto, and there was a lot of people protesting, like, the Iran, and like, get your shit together, man. It's like, fuck. Like, okay, Iran's got a lot of problems going on in their country, but But the whole morality police, like, what the, I mean, ain't nothing moral about the morality police. Especially when, someone said it best, especially when these assholes can't see the difference between killing a woman, like the value of a woman's life, and the and one, they give more, they gave more importance to her showing her hair, not wanting to wear the hijab, than they did to her actual life. I mean, that's, at some point you got to start questioning your fucking moralities when you can't see the difference. But anyways, that's what the, anyway, so this is just my quick thoughts, final thoughts on episode 019. But in Milwaukee, there's a cannibal. Where am I? All right, okay. All right, I didn't waste as much time as I thought. Okay, now, the inspiration for today's title. Today's title, which is surrounded by, what did I agree with? I said, yeah, surrounded by lonely people. And that, where did I get that verse? Let me just control F. It's, because I got to repeat the poetry. Oh, okay, it's the last part. All right. It's from the song by Talib Kweli. I was just thinking about, is Talib Kweli in the news for doing problematic shit? Maybe he is, but I'm not thinking about that right now. But what I will bring up is, it's from a song by Talib Kweli called Lonely People featuring LaToya Williams. Great song. Now, before I continue on about the where I got the inspiration for today's title, first, I'd like to say how I want to bring up the fact that this song is off Talib Kweli's mixtape, Beautiful Mix. What's it called? Fuck, man. It's off one of his mixtape that came. Okay, hold on. Let me focus. My point is, it is a challenge for me to get to the point. My point is, what bothers me is this song is not on any streaming service. I fuck it, y'all, man. One of my biggest pet peeves. Like, there's nothing, how do I say? There's nothing great about the invention of streaming services. I thought it did because of all the availabilities, but when it comes to music, and you get in, if you're someone like me, and every once in a while there's a song you just need to hear in this particular time, I fucking hate when you look it up and it's not available on the fucking streaming service because of, who knows, copyright, whatever the fuck, man. Like, contrary to popular belief, these streaming services are not as good as they make it out to be. Like, I miss my Walkman. I miss my, because I was that guy who went into, I'm going to say HMV, but to you Americans or people outside the country have no idea may not know what HMV is, but whatever record store, wherever you kids got your records from. What's a record? Wherever you kids got a cassette tape from. What's a cassette tape? Wherever you kids got your CD from. Now, if I have to explain what the fuck is a CD, then ask your parents. All right, okay. sorry, I'm getting passionate again, and my volume just went up. Where was I? Yeah, so it's annoyed the fuck out of me that this song was not available on, I'm subscribed to Tidal, and that shit wasn't on there. I'm gonna assume it's also not on, I didn't look it up, but, what's the other one? Spotify. So, fuck streaming service, man. I miss Napster, man. Bring back Napster. That's what we all loved about Napster, man. It's like, you can type any song, and the shit, English, French, whatever the fuck, and it would show up, because everyone was sharing their music together. Like, I guess I would pay for a Napster. As long as the song that I'm fucking looking for is fucking available when I fucking need it. All right, calm down, B. Calm. Woo. Okay, hold on. Let me calm one second. That was on me taking a shot of Hennessy. Psych. No, just some water. I was just trying to sound tough. You know what I mean? But drink some water to calm myself down. Like in the old days when your radiator would overheat. You kids don't know what I'm talking about. Radiator. Shit, I'm the old guy in the club. All right. Where was I? Holy fuck. This is just point one. Okay. Let me get through this, B. Lord, give me strength. Okay. So this was just my rant I took a serious tangent on fuck streaming services for not having the song you need when you want them. Now, with that said, I had to go on the YouTube to find the song. And, what was I saying? This song played in my head after listening to this TikTok clip that I'm going to play in my This Week in Therapy section. Excuse me, segment. Oh, tabarnak. Woo! Le démon est dans mes poumons. Yeah, I said the demons are in my poumons, my lungs. This song, so I'll get into it more, but think of it, today's title is my equivalent of Everybody Hurts. Talib Kweli and his song, Lonely People. Did I mention the title of the song was Lonely People? Yeah, he just talks about the insecurities, people's insecurity or of celebrity. When I listened to it, he had me think, I was thinking about how, because at the beginning of the song, he talks about how he's going to strip clubs and how, I guess, going to strip clubs to heal it. I guess it just had me thinking about how I used to use strip clubs as a way to heal the, this is probably me being a tough guy because I don't want to acknowledge it as pain, but let's say, for the sake of conversation, to heal those moments of loneliness. That pain that came from, you know, you just go to, it was a great Band-Aid going to strip club, and that's what it had me thinking. But anyways, I'll elaborate further in This Week in Therapy. So that's that for today's title. Let's jump to This Week's in Therapy. By the way, write in if I should have some kind of theme for This Week in Therapy. Fuck was that? Okay, how about this one? Fireworks? No. Okay, how about this one? There we go. All right, This Week in Therapy. Number one with a bullet. What is that? Sorry. My favorite episodes are the ones where I make my own self laugh. The idea of using as my This Week in Therapy. Number one with a bullet. Wow, it would suck if my therapist had a gun and she used it during her therapy session. I mean, you know what I mean? Tell me where it hurts! Tell me where it hurts! Oh, I'll shoot you! Anyway, yeah, okay. This Week in Therapy. How much time have I used? Okay, I'm just going to jump to play this clip that I found on Twitter. On TikTok, and the content creator's name is Honest Appraisal, and homie said some deep shit that just had me thinking, and here we go. Let's just play the clip. Here we go. Hold on a second. Gotta unmute.
Hey, just my third attempt to make this video. I want to do something a little more personal, a little more vulnerable, for a good reason. Particularly, I would love young men to hear this message. The vulnerable and personal part is, I'm lonely. I'm lonely. I'm a 58-year-old man with practically no close male friends. Those close male friends I do have live far away. That's partly to do with the fact that I immigrated, the nature of being a digital nomad, all of these things. But the truth is, I could count them on the fingers of an amputated right hand. And that's down to the way in which I neglected relationships or didn't seek out ones that were about me and another guy, but were all about what I call school gate friends. And I looked around at my circle of friends after my divorce and realized that the only real reason I was in contact with these guys was because our kids were in the same class. And when I left town after my divorce, those relationships faded really, really quickly. And partly that was just the neglect and shallow nature of those relationships, but also because I never put the effort in, and neither did these guys, for us to really, really get to know each other. And so the emotional burden of my awakening that I needed to share fell fairly and squarely on my female friends, on my women friends, and in particular on the lovely woman that I'm dating. And that's not fair. That's not right. It isn't for her to be that prop. She is really willing to be, as many women are. They have an enormous capacity to help us. But without that male connection, I drift in the world. I fall very easily from alone to lonely, and I feel reluctant to put the burden of that on my partner, on my girlfriend, despite her willingness to do it. It's not fair, and it's entirely down to me and the men around me for our failure, collectively and individually, to really create meaningful connections between us. And you can't make old friends. So where I'm starting with from scratch with some really lovely guys, I know that we've got years and hard work before we get to the level of connection where we can truly help each other when the shit hits the fan, where we can be there for each other in deep crisis and emotional difficulty, because I just didn't do it. And so when I drift from alone to lonely, I've got nobody outside of my women friends that I can call and dig into and help and receive nourishment and encouragement from. So I'm saying, particularly to young men, foster the friendships you have. Find people that you connect with and that connect with you, and dig into those relationships. Don't be afraid to go deep. Create those connections that will help you when the shit hits the fan.
So many thoughts. So many thoughts on this one. Wow, there's, like, I don't know where to start, so I'm just gonna, this is, like, I even tried writing this shit down on paper, and here's my attempt, here's my reaction. This, let me start with, first thought that came to mind is, in 2020, around the same time of the whole George Floyd murder, Amy Cooper, I can pinpoint in that period of time that I was going through this, like, personal stuff here, one of the biggest crises in my life. And, you know, like that saying that says, how to go, something about how you know who your true friends are when you're going through some shit and things like that. It was like one of those crises. And it's funny how, not funny, I mean, it's during that crisis, you know what? I was going to say all my male friends. No, that's not true. Let's just say a lot of the people I considered friends weren't friends. Like, I'm not just talking about friends. I'm talking about family and shit like that. I was in the middle of a crisis, and it forced me to put people in two categories, either part of the solution or part of the fucking problem. And a lot of people who I considered close ones, loved ones, ended up just being part of the problem. And I don't mean creating the problem, like the crisis. They were just like, I think of Tupac's mom growing up with her badass kids, because Tupac talks about how he was a badass kid growing up, and how she's dealing with racism outside the world and then coming home and having to deal with a badass kid. And the kids is just like adding to her. I'm sure she loved her kids. I'm thinking about people who, as a single man, when I go through crisis, there's like a benefit to be able to go on about it by yourself, especially when the people who are supposed to love you just add to the fucking problem. You know what I'm saying? Lead, follow, or get the fuck out the way. Yeah, it's very easy to be that person who just gets in the fucking way and just useless, unhelpful. And there's like the greatest gift they would be able to give to you during your crisis, get the fuck out of the way. Anyways, with that said, yeah, I was about to generalize. I guess I'm close to generalizing that going through that crisis, my relationship with my female friends, a lot of the people who were part of the solution were women. And a lot of the people who were part of the problem were men. Whether they were friends, whether they were either people causing the fucking problem, a lot of it were men, patriarchy, not being able to, like, hey, this is what I'm going through, or not. It's not just a case of not being able to share that, but being understood. See, that's the thing with communication that gets left out. It's not just about, like, a lot of people talk about how, hey, if you're going through some hard times, I want to be that ear, you know, speak up, call me up. I want to be that ear, but yeah, but you got to be able to do shit like empathize, listen. Not everyone is able to listen with the ability to understand. That's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, so So this crisis, I won't lie, had me go through this after the crisis. I have this this line from the rapper Soprano, le rappeur, and he says, "Ma colère envers les hommes était énorme." But in his context, he means mankind. But in my context, it was enough for me to be like, "Fuck the church of masculinity, fuck this fucking this no, not church, fuck the cult of masculinity." It was enough for me to be like, okay, it was enough for me to get away from my ways as a toxic male, which is a plus side, but I won't lie, there was a bit of resentment towards men. And I'm working on it. I'm working on it. But look, all I'm saying is what I like about what he's getting at is the idea how the relationship we have with our male friends, and how most of us, we're just associates to each other. We're just people going in the same direction. But when it comes to doing human shit like empathizing, like, look, there's a clip out there that I just watched today. And it's I'll put it in the show notes. Look, let me make a notes to put it in the show notes. And what it is Crying Man. What it is it's a cop pulling up to a car. I guess he's got his body cam on. He's pulling up to a car, and I'm not sure what caused him, but some car is parked in the middle of the highway. Bro, man, like it gets to your soul. The guy inside the car pulls down his window, and you can hear him bawling, crying like shit. Even I'm like getting emotional over it right now. He's fucking crying, like, not like, okay, usually when a man is crying, you have an urge to like feel cringe at another man crying, but this is like tears. Fuck, man, that he cried tears that we could connect to. And I'm so fucking glad, out of all the cops to come in, he had the ability to feel those tears. So automatically the cop gets into empathetic mode and said, "Yo, dude, what's going on? What's happening?" And a man is says, "I'm on the phone with suicide prevention right now." You can tell that this man had, like, he was broken. Please, I think every man, we go through a phase where we keep our guards up and to not show that side, but those fucking tears that, man, shit, man. Like, even, I'm holding back tears right now so I can do the rest of the show. My therapist would be telling me, "Yo, let them tears out." But I'm like, yeah, remember, I'm toxic. I'm still working on it. And whatever, man. Yeah, man, fuck this. Even I wanted to give the freaking guy, this guy a hug. All I'm saying is I'm grateful that clip, the cop who was answering was empathetic. And he told him to get out, you know, say, "Hey, no, it's cool, we can talk. How about you serve?" I think he was able to relate with him. "When did you serve?" So he was able to say soldier shit, whatever. But the clip ends with the guy getting out the car and the man saying, "Can I get a hug?" Fuck. That broke it. Look, I think where I'm going with this is I know humankind, the average human being, is suffering. Growing up in a church, what's the name of this pastor? This is one preacher she was just talking about. She just said, "We're all hurting," and and you could use that hurt as a way to, not as a way to bond with someone else. Basically, just assume that if you read any book about how to win people and influence friends, and like find something you have in common, and or whatever, you can pretty much assume the average human being has some kind of suffering. Now, whether they're willing to share that hurt, suffering, that pain with you is a different story, but you can pretty much assume that this, everyone is going through this fucked up life, and life somehow managed to kick him in the nuts, men or women, like to hurt. And we're all just going through this life pretending like, it's okay, I got this, or whatever. The average human being, if you're one of those human beings who are going through life, and I don't know what the hell you're talking about, I'm not hurting, then fucking you're lucky. I'm just saying the average human is suffering. And that's what I'm getting at with surrounded by lonely people. Yeah, I think every man out there, a majority of men are like that man in that car who just like about just bawling out tears. You know what's funny? This is a white man in that car. Notice, I'm only bringing up race at this moment to say, like, in that particular moment, I just saw a human being in pain. That's what I'm trying to get at. For all I know, he's responsible for that pain or whatever. But in that particular moment, I'm not passing any judgment. I don't know what the fuck's going on. All I know is I just need to get this dude. I'm in a situation where I felt the need to get this man. He's drowning, and I just need to get him to the shore. Whatever his story is irrelevant at this particular time. There's something in me, the compassion in me is telling me, yo, help this dude, throw this man a lifesaver. Did I finish explaining? Yeah, I guess. I think I was in the middle of making a point here about my colleague. I guess what bothered me is how most of my male friends were not like that cop. Or if, you know what, maybe they are. Maybe they are, but it just takes a certain situation for them to empathize with someone else. Maybe I am being a bit harsh, but I guess I'm in my circle of friends, most of the males have not really showed like empathy is their thing. Most of my female friends have. Now, I know I'm fucking generalizing. Excuse me. I know I'm generalizing like a motherfucker. So, and I'm talking about my own personal experience. Maybe it's just the right. But for the sake of conversation right now, I will say the male friends didn't step up and the female friends did. Bottom line. Not all of them, but I'm saying in general, it was enough for me to generalize and say, in this particular moment that I was going through, the females, the women, the ladies stepped up, and I'm grateful for it. Who knows? Maybe the next disaster, I'll be flipped around and I'll join some incel. I'm kidding. I'm just saying. I met one man. That's funny. I won't get into detail who this man is, right? But I did find, while I was going through my crisis, one man to show me empathy. But the thing, it was part of his job to be empathetic, to show empathy. But that's another story. But I do remember telling him at the end of the conversation, bro, you're shocking the fuck out of me. You're probably the first man I ever talked to and was able to listen. And he took it as a compliment. It was meant as a compliment, but it was just, I remember just being shocked. This is probably why my therapist, I chose a woman. Because when I think of a man sharing my problems, I just feel like it's the shit that I'm gonna get ridiculed for. You know, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I've never, growing up, shit like empathy, compassion was a very rare trait. And as a matter of fact, I don't think you're supposed to. It was just something very rare. When it did happen, it was like, wow, something wrong with you? It's like, are you gay? You know, it just felt out of character. Now, I want to be clear that I'm not taking my small, limited experience to say, all men this, all women that. I want to be like, I'm sure there's a man listening to this saying, damn, I wish I could have been there when you were going through your crisis. I know for a fact, I'm just saying, It was interesting to hear this guy talk about it. Just say, "Hey, dude, I'm a lonely man, and I don't think he's a, I don't think he's alone in that loneliness." And here's the catch, too. I think there's a lot of married men, men in relationships, and whatnot, who are feeling that same loneliness. Even I can speak about being in, like, I'm in a large family. I'm from a large family, and I've frequently felt that loneliness in this large family, just because we just did not have a lot of things in common. One last point that I want to touch on is how, because I was thinking about how the fact that, yeah, I chose, oh, the part that he says that how he can count with an amputated hand how many friends he has. For those who are used to this podcast, I've mentioned this before, is this is my second round doing therapy. The first time I went into therapy was after a serious breakup, but that's another story that I'll get into maybe in a episode that you'll have to pay for. But my first therapist, I used to not tell anyone that I was in therapy, but I just referred to her as my wise friend. I have a wise friend. This wise white woman in my life just told me that I would never get into it. But whatever, right. I was always, if you've ever heard me say, "this wise friend of mine said," I was actually talking about my therapist. Anyway, my first therapist, she told me, I was in my 20s when I was seeing her. Late 20s. And I remember her saying, no, early 20s. Holy shit. Yeah, okay, but that's another story. Yeah, and I remember her telling me, when you get older, when you get my age, because she was probably in her 50s, I forget how old she was, and she says, you'll be lucky if you're able to count your friends with one hand. I didn't get it. But now I realize, realizing that you got friends and you got associates. You got people who care about you, and then you got people who are simply just fucking curious about what's going on. What juicy shit is going on in your life? And please tell me shit that's going to make me feel better about my own life. So yeah, I think when you hit my age, you start to make that distinction between who your real friends are and who your real friends are and who is just in it for the ride. Who is just, I don't know, man. I'm just... It's like I'm trying to figure out my point. I'm trying to end this and find a great conclusion to my observation, to my reaction to this post. I mean, it's powerful. I shared this with two of my male friends, one who's married, the other one is in a relationship, and the one who's married, he has this ability of, like, he's got this ability. He keeps in touch. Like, I'm grateful to have him as a friend, mainly because of, wow, he's the one who reaches out. Like, I'm ashamed to how much the effort he puts into reaching out. And let me just be clear. There are friends who reach out and, I kind of wish they didn't, but this one in particular, he doesn't do it to, like, so he can cross off the list of I'm being a good friend. It's duty. No, it's sincere. He values friendship, and I think it's just fucking amazing. If you got one of those, one, be grateful, and be remember they got a limited battery, and you know you got to return that favor and whatnot. But yeah, he's just a guy like that. And I guess I shared this with him to see if he has his moments of loneliness. I'd be surprised to find out, considering how he reaches out. Like, he's the guy who, let me put it this way. If you're looking for someone from your child, fuck Facebook. He's like my Facebook, kind of like that. If I want to know what's going on in people's lives that I went to school with, he's the one who would know. Yeah. So, it's, I think, what he said reminds me of why I do this podcast. I'm kind of hoping that being vulnerable becomes a thing for men. Being open, being able to say, hey, man, I fucking hurt. I'm going through it. Or this is how, as opposed to, man up. Tell me, you know, Don't be weak. What do you mean you've seen a therapist? Yeah, man. I hope that's like in the past. And basically we can develop deep where the concept of a man having deep relationships becomes acceptable. Right now we're in that phase where it's sort of acceptable while it's also being like, we're still the old days. Like the caveman in us is still stuck in us. And I was going to make so the last point I was going to make about in response to what he's saying is, this is going to be for future episodes, and ask the question, why the fuck do we criminalize sex work? Considering how, I think sex work is probably the reasons why we don't have a 9/11 hijackers right now. I'm just saying, like, we got crazy people out there, but I think sex work is one of the reasons why there are men who are hurting. And you know the saying, hurt people hurt people? Well, the reason why they haven't done so much damage is because of sex work. But then again, some of those hurt men inflict their hurt on the sex workers, which is not what I'm getting at. You know, I think, you know, they should go to jail. They should be dealt with. But anyways, I think I'm gonna make, there will be one of the topics I will cover one day is sex work and why the fuck do we pretend like it's something that should be criminalized. But I'll get to that. All right. Okay. So this concludes this week in therapy. I have no further thoughts. I just, like, there's so much I could have said, and I'm looking at the time, and I said a lot, and I'm not sure. You know what? I didn't have a point. I was all over the place. Check out more content by Honest Appraisal on TikTok. I'm going to leave it at that. All right. Okay. Random thoughts. Oh, sorry. So this concludes today's segment on random thought. On This Week in Therapy. There we go. What else do I got? All right. Let's go to random thoughts. Okay. Yeah. I'm really, I'm actually talking to a producer to get, I need a way to break up these things, man. And I'm working on it, man. I haven't figured out how I'm going to do that yet. But that's on the, what scream? Random thoughts. All right, let's go with random thoughts. This is the theme for random thoughts. Okay. Before I start, I want to, recommend, there's a movie on Netflix called Athena. And it's in French, and I watched that shit, and I with the subtitles in French though, cause les potes, la façon que vous parlez, c'était un peu difficile à comprendre, à suivre un peu là, juste parce que fucking French Canadian French has fucked up my life. Anyway, whatever, man. But it's a dope ass movie, man. I remember the trailer got my attention, and I remember hitting play on the movie, thinking I'm just gonna, expecting not to like it, but that shit just gets you, man. It's if you've seen the movie 1917, there's a lot of camera action where the camera just follows the main character, and there's chaos going around the. Look, man, it was just bravo, man. C'est bravo les Français, bravo vous, man. Like, this is like look, man, dope movie. Recommend watching it. And I elaborate longer on another episode. And I also want to say a special Nick ta mère to Eric Duhem. One of my friends on TikTok, on Twitter, posted something. A French columnist said, "Look, man, French Canadians got some racist motherfuckers in there, man." Anyway, so some French white guy who writes a columnist or op-ed in the newspaper. His name is Rick Duhem. Duhem? Duhem, whatever. And he says some racist shit, like they always do. And instead of going into some thoughts into what he said, why he said it, or whatnot, I'm just going to conclude it with, Nick ta mère, man. Nick ta mère. Nick ta mère, Rick Duhem. Take that. Yeah. Take that. All right. Okay. I should have podcasted. It's not condone violence. But if he dies, he dies. All right. Okay. This was meant to promote the movie Athena, and there's a lot of French slang in there, and one of them is Nick Damel, which means go fuck your mom. And I just think it's appropriate to say, like, it's funny how they kept saying it in the movie, but in this context, but after hearing it so much, I just felt it was so appropriate to share it with this motherfucker. Anyways, whatever. All right, let's go with, all right, okay, I didn't keep this note. This might take, you know, fuck it, take your time, B. This is your podcast. Okay, I wanted to read how Comedian Blasted. Comedian, this is kind of funny. No, it's not funny. Okay, sorry. Comedian under fire, fired by Carnival Cruise for using the N-word. All right, and I'm just going to play, sorry, this is from TMZ, and I'm not going to play, I don't have a clip of him using the N-word, but it's this part that got my, look, a white person using the N-word is not newsworthy, but this is the part that got my attention, what he says afterwards.
Do you remember the whole thing about if you're easily offended, get the fuck out? Here's the thing. I'm sorry I offended you, okay, but the fact that you are clearly sensitive means you should just leave.
It's the idea, basically is, he drops the N-word, and then he ends his segment with, look, man, sorry you're offended, but it just means you're fucking sensitive because, you know, as a white man, had great science, great wisdom in my usage of the N-word. There was a reason why I used the N-word, but because you're too sensitive to understand it, you will never understand the wisdom in my whiteness, the wisdom that comes from me being a white man. And look, man, I wanted to strangle this dude. I look, this hits home for me because I was in a situation at work where where this white chick drops the N-word 3 times in a conversation. She was actually telling me a story. To be honest with you, I forget the actual fucking story. But it was likely in the context of, niggers don't like using the word niggers when you use the word niggers. So I was she was talking to my neighbor, and she was telling me she drops the N-word, and she says nigger. And I told her how niggers don't like being called niggers. Whatever. Like, it's something weird, fucked up like that. But I remember being in such, like, being shocked of what I heard, and pretending like I wasn't fazed because this was at work and I'm in code switching mode. And when I'm in code switching mode, I turn on my Uncle Tom mode, and I act like I don't see race and shit like that. But that's not what got me the most. Is later when I confronted this person about her usage of the N-word, she told me she did it just to see how I would react. She didn't see it at the time, but deep down inside, a fucking volcano erupted. And I was just trying to pretend like there was no volcano. And I didn't tell anyone about it because I didn't want to be surrounded by people saying, what do you mean you didn't fuck up? You didn't fuck her up for using the N-word? But I do remember when she did it, we were going through a time where a lot of comedians were complaining about the fact that they weren't free to say what they wanted to say because of sensitive bitches. And it just had me think, like, now I'm reflecting on it, is this is why I can't have a normal conversation, argument, whatever, engage any white person, especially comedian, about free speech. Because in my mind, all they want to say to me is just, look, I need to be able to say the N-word. I can't stop myself. I don't know what it is. But when I wake up in the morning, I need, as a white man, to be able to use the N-word. There's actually another clip going around this week, and it's, did I save it? White people's inability to use the N-word. Yeah. And let's see, does it play? you've probably heard this because everyone's been sharing it, and it goes, here we go, I'll play it. I guess I just realized that you guys can't see this clip, or for some of you, this might be the first time hearing this clip, and essentially it's a camera. It's one of those doorbell cameras that's out there, and it's a white man who just pressed the doorbell, and I guess he's selling. I'm not sure what he's selling, but he explains himself. But here we go. This is a white man pressing the doorbell. That's the clip you're watching and or listening to. Waiting for someone to answer the door. This is a 59 second clip, guys. There we go. Someone answers the door.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, sorry to bother you. I'm Fernando. I work at Peak Energy. We're a few doors down. We're in 1845.
Okay.
So we do solar around here. We're just coming around talking to neighbors. Sorry, dude. Neighbors. I apologize, man.
I know.
No, man. That wasn't even.
And the white man walks away. Probably hoping, yo, I hope no one got that on camera. Yeah. Look, I used to joke about white people's inability to not say the N-word. It used to be a joke because telling the truth would hurt their feelings. And... Look, white people have a serious, I think, I look at racism like an addiction, and it's going to be a while that the people who started off enslaving black people, it's going to be a while before they can kick that addiction. That's what I'm trying to get at, right? Now, I've been surrounded by white people come up to me and say, I would never, ever use the N-word. I'm like, the fact that you have to tell me that makes me want to put you on my list of people to worry about, or people who are currently seeing the N-word in their mind. Look, I have no idea what it's like to be white, but I can tell you that white people have this fucked up obsession with this N-word, with the N-word. Like, they would benefit from a fucking therapist. Like, I know shaming white people to not use the N-word is not going to work. They need therapy. They need someone they can talk to and deal with this fucking addiction. I can't explain it. All I know is a lot of us blacks saw that clip of the white boy saying, yeah, we're going around checking on these niggers. I mean, neighbors. A lot of us weren't surprised. That's what I'm trying to get at. I can't explain it, man. I forgot what point. I was probably in the middle of making a point about something at the beginning, and I forgot where I was going with this. But I'm just saying, it just comes down to when a white woman said it just to see my reaction, it just reminded me of how much the infuriating part, the infuriating part about the N-word is how white people distance themselves from this word. A word that has made it possible for them to live in a life, a world, like racism benefited. Racism put money in their pocket. Racism gave them power. Racism allowed them to put them in a position where we blacks are looking up and they're looking down at us. And it's kind of like racism was like your what do you call that? Thanos, when he got all five stones and he put it on the gauntlet. Yeah, racism was that fucking gauntlet that gave them power over us. And nigger was one of the stones on that gauntlet. And for them to act like, I have no idea what this word nigger means, or what effects it has on you, or why the fuck I can't say it, or why you people get so sensitive around the word. Like, that fucking ignorance around the word nigger, is why I start my show, and it's brought to you by, and tell you that it's brought to you by the letter FW, fuck Whitey, Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and some motherfucking crew. Right, right. Yeah, man. It's just... So yeah, this segment is just a white man used the N-word again today. And is confused as to why it's such a fucking big deal. I don't know, man. I'm kind of hoping that I have these fantasies that one day, it's not going to happen, but I have these fantasies that one day a race of aliens will show up and their technology is just more powerful and they're black. And we got to explain racism to them. Now, granted, they might look at us and say, you little bitches, fuck that. I side with the powerful, so they'll team up with the white people. Or, if I'm lucky, they'll empathize with our pain. They said, these crackers did what? Because during our explanation, in my fantasy, we've explained to these alien race what racism is. And in that process, we likely use the word crackers. And, and they're like, these crackers did what? You know what? Honestly, it's not revenge that I want when I take up racism. My biggest wish in here, my fantasy in all this, is putting white people in a position where they understand what the fuck we've been saying about racism. Like, they understand our pain. And not understand the way you understand after reading a book, but understand it after going through it. Like, I would, honestly, I would settle for... Bring back the Matrix, like creating the Matrix, putting all white people in it, putting their head through it, and then just so they can understand what the fuck. That's really what, it's not going to happen, but that's, I don't want revenge. I'm unlikely to get rep. I will, okay, you know what? I'm going to speak for myself because black people will not agree with this next statement I will say, but I will take them understanding our pain over reparations. That's bullshit. I want that check. No, I'm kidding. but them understanding it hurt. It's kind of like, let me kick you in the nuts, man. Let me kick you in the nuts so you can be like, oh, wow. That's why you guys are, oh, wow. That's how it feels like to hear the N-word. Oh, wow. Okay, I get it. My bad. Holy shit. Fuck, we've been assholes. It's like that. Yeah. Then it's not just... something that the N-word is just not one of those words that, oh, because you're sensitive, that's why you react to it. I'm going to leave it at that, man. That segment had me thinking a lot, man. All right, I'm over my limit. All right, okay. I'm going to play a commercial because it just made me giggle throughout this week. Apparently, there's a dating app out there called The Right Stuff. Well, actually, apparently, there's a second dating app called The Right Stuff. And it's created by some billionaire named Peter Thiel. Okay, the article will be in the show notes. You can look into it. But I'm just going to play a commercial for it. And it's just, this shit got my attention. And it's called, What Women Want. Do dating apps usually advertise? Oh, yeah, actually Christian Mingle advertised for their shit. But whatever. But this one, I thought it was hilarious. It was funny. Well, not hilarious, but, you know, ça m'a fait rigoler. Here we go.
To get their honest opinions.
A lot. Cool. What women want. Oh, forgot to play. Here we go.
Today, we brought in a group of conservative young women and wanted to get their honest opinions about what they're looking for in the guys they date.
Yes, all these women are attractive, but for me, the most attractive one in there is the big girl. That's... everyone else I ignored, but the big girl, yeah, man. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Why you gotta hurt my feelings like that? But here we go.
What are you looking for in a partner?
They just have to be a conservative.
Skinny girl.
Definitely someone that wants to have kids. I like an independent man.
Skinny girl.
Personally, I like the alpha male vibe.
Big girl.
I want a man who really loves his family.
Skinny girl.
Definitely someone whose faith is important to them.
Big girl.
For me, it's someone who actually wants to meet my parents.
Why do you want to date a conservative?
For me, at least I know that we're going to start off with some shared values.
Sorry.
Well, the conservative men I've dated at least know how to treat me like a woman. Mm.
In my personal experience, conservative guys have better manners.
I like that they understand their role in the relationship as a man.
I just prefer my men to be masculine.
And what's the biggest red flag when it comes to dating?
A Democrat. No Democrats.
A Democrat.
Can't be a Democrat.
A Democrat.
That's easy. A Democrat.
No Democrats. It's a no.
Big girl.
Find the right match. Download the right stuff today.
When I said skinny girls, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. It was just my way of saying, out of all the girls that, out of all the women on there that made me go, I was pointing out the big girl. You know, I guess I could have just said the one that I would. Okay, calm down, calm the fuck down, B. Calm down. I'm having a conversation with myself. First, let's acknowledge the fact that all these women are actresses. And I'm surprised they didn't disclose that. Shouldn't they disclose that? That these actresses? And whatever, right? And B, let's be real. A lot of the thing with these dating apps is they always start out with these attractive women doing the commercials. But the reality is, come on, fellas. Come on, buddy. The maturity chicks do not look like that. And if they do, they don't want your ass. They want the cream of the crop. So when you're going through their DM, remember, they got a lot of us to pick from. And they're going to pick. Don't get offended. Don't get offended. Don't get all sensitive here. But they're going to. Look, man. Pretend like you were in their shoes and you got the pick of the litter. I should look up the expression pick of the litter. But they just, you're going for resumes, man. You're going to pick the best ones. And sure, it's going to be tough to pick one, but they're going to, either you better be the best one or you better be the greatest con artist on the list. But yeah, but aside from that, I was just entertained by this commercial. Now, a part of me wonders whether it's my place to criticize a dating app, considering that I'm not on the dating market at the moment. But one thing's for sure, if I was dating, I'm not going on fucking the right stuff. Are you at your mind? I'm going to meet a chick who wants to get married? Fuck that shit. I want a girl with extensions in the hair, bamboo earrings, at least through pairs. Yeah, no, I don't know. I was just entertained by this commercial. But I was also entertained at the idea that I have a relative. Actually, I know two people. One's a relative and one's actually my brother. And I don't know, maybe it's changed now. But I remember when he was, because I got to be careful about putting his business out there. I'm going to put out when he was dating, him and this other dude, staunch conservatives. And when I say conservatives, they probably won't declare themselves as conservatives, but they fucking pro-life bullshit, pro-force birth, pro-Donald Trump. I'm not a Trump supporter, but, you know, that like that guy, like I'm not with the convoy, but they're that guy, you know what I mean? Like, anyways, it's funny how these guys would go on dating apps and would target liberal women. And I thought it was funny. I mean, I have no idea why they would do that except for liberal chicks put out. but I think one of them would do that thinking, I think they did that kind of like the same way some women date the bad boys. I think they did that because they thought that at some point their dick and their words was going to get this liberal chick to see the truth. The reality is, like, they would change. I think they had it grandeurs. What's that word? What's the expression? They were vain enough to believe that they had the ability to convert these women into seeing the world the way they did. I think that's what. All I know is every time I saw them with a girl, a part of me was like, well, okay, if they shared their values, I was going to say anything. But if they didn't share their values, I was going to be like, throw them hints like, the dude you're with ain't shit, man. Leave, lady, leave. They're trying to, this shit is not going to work out between you two. It was hard to do because I was, back in those days, I was a big follower of the bro code. Like, thou shalt not cock block. And so you'd be in violation. It's kind of like, you meet a girl who's dating your friend and you know your friend ain't shit. And you got to figure out who your loyalty is. Doing the right thing by telling the girl, hey, well, then again, you can tell the girl that, hey, the guy you're dating, he ain't shit. But she ain't going to hear you. She's going to wait to, it's like telling someone, hey, the plate is hot. It's like telling me the plate is hot. I'm going to touch that plate. I got to touch that. You know, some people need to figure it out for themselves. So, yeah, man. I don't know. Hey, ladies, if you were dating a man and his friend told you he ain't shit, but your gut feeling told you, I don't know, whatever, something in you told me, I don't know, I want to figure it out for themselves, who would you listen to? Like, would you want his friends to tell you, hey, man, why exactly he ain't shit? But you know what? I'm going all over the place here. Yeah, I was just thinking of this dating app. Look, I'm not going to be an asshole. I kind of hope that the right stuff works out for these people. I can't say this with a straight face. And they find love because, you know, assholes deserve love too, man. And when I say asshole, I don't mean like just insulting. I mean people who say or do asshole shit deserve to find other people who say or do shit. Man, look, man, this shit is a disaster. Look, all this to say, the hot chicks on this app won't be looking for you. That's really what I'm trying to get at. Okay, like next bit of news here. Next bit of news, because I'm over time here. Oh, right. This, one of those news segments that I was trying to ignore, but they pulled me back in. And it's about how pop artist Lizzo, actually, before I start, okay, if I was on a dating app, I'd be on the ones that Lizzo is. And when I say Lizzo, I just mean specifically Lizzo, but I mean, I listened to this one album by her and this one track that she sang. Basically, most of the tracks she sang, it's like, yes, I want a girlfriend like that who says freaky shit like that. Whatever, man. Anyway, yeah. Where was I? Yeah, so Lizzo has been in the news this week. And usually when she's in the news, because someone's hating on her, but which is the case. So what happened is Lizzo was given the opportunity to play the flute that was owned by former President Jay Madison. I don't know who Jay Madison is, but I'm sure he owns slaves. But that's not the fucking point. Apparently, homie had a flute. And the library archives kept that flute and allowed Lizzo to put her black nigger lips on it. Oh, well, it's the kind of flute that you don't put your lips on it. But they let her play it. Because I didn't know this, but Lizzo studied that shit, like that kind of music. She studied that shit. She knows how to play the fucking flute. That's what I'm trying to say. Anyways, on September 23rd, a tweet from the Library of Congress offered Lizzo a chance to play the, wow, 200-year-old crystal flute. Yeah, Jay Madison definitely owned slaves. Anyway, yeah, so Lizzo played the flute. And, of course, white people got angry. Now, usually, I spent my week ignoring that shit because I'm like, ignore the haters. But this particular hater was Candace Owens. Of course, Candace Owens, it's amazing how put the name Candace Owens in the highlight and I fucking pay attention to it. It's amazing how she got to my attention. Now, Candace Owens is Candace Owens is definitely on the right stuff. I know she's dating some white dude, whatever, but she's, I will say this, because I'm going to try to say something positive about Candace Owens. She's looking better. Money does a lot of things. Like, her hair are starting to look fucking, like, better. I think, I don't know, she must have a black stylist tolerating her. But, yeah, man, they've been doing her camera presentation is a lot better. But her soul is still fucking ugly. Ain't no hairstyle, ain't no beautician in the world that can do anything about her soul. Yeah, anyway, so Candace Owens, of course, joined the list of haters saying, oh man, this is disrespectful to James, to slave owning Jay Madison, her putting her black nigger lips on that flute. Fuck, how dare she? Get back in the hole, nigger. Hey, whatever. Yeah, so Candace Owens talked shit about it. She likely tweeted about it, but that link is not going to be on the show notes. But the article by Black Enterprise referencing Candace Owens being offended. Like, why the fuck should I give a fuck about Candace Owens being offended? But the fact that I paid attention to that article is why they're writing about Candace Owens being offended. But here we are. All right, right there. Okay, what now? Next random thought. Okay, this is my attempt to have, because Shut Up Podcast is based out of Canada. When I talk about the red-black, that's the name of our football team. red black flag, whatever. I don't even watch the fucking CFL, but that's not the fucking point. This is just me trying to support, not support, say Canadian content. And today's Canadian content, this shit made me laugh. Yo, if you're from the province of Saskatchewan, you need to sit the fuck down for this next clip. I'm just gonna play it and then share my thoughts because it's kind of ridiculous. So, some representative from the great province of Saskatchewan said this shit in motherfucking parliament. And yes, she's white. Fuck that. She was black. I would have funded to have her kidnapped. And make sure that chick never touches a microphone ever again. Fun. Yeah. Here we go. Hit and play. Okay. It's loading. Got to unmute. Here we go.
I guess what's perplexing about quote unquote carbon pricing, I'll just carbon tax, is what is it doing to prevent disasters? What has the federally imposed liberal carbon tax, because I come from a province that it has been imposed on, done for the environment? How come it didn't prevent Hurricane Fiona? Where are those tax dollars going? What is it doing? Nothing. I guess.
Okay. It's not the. Again, episode 20. Surrounded by lonely people. You know, again, my favorite episodes, part of my are the ones that make me laugh at my own jokes. Anyways, so what I'm laughing at. Okay, the Honorable. Calling the Honorable kills me. All right, the Honorable, what's her name? Her name is.
What's perplexing about quote unquote carbon pricing? I guess.
Holy shit, they showed her name. I guess it doesn't matter.
Perplexing.
Okay. Fuck. They showed her name. What was her name? Hold on. Refresh. Let's go. Come on, man. I should look this up before. You know what? Fuck it, man. She's a representative. Conservative MP criticized the federal government's carbon tax because it didn't prevent Hurricane Fiona. Okay. What's making me laugh, get it together, B Black. What's making me laugh is the woman behind her, I'm gonna assume is on her team. And you can hear in the background someone saying, tell him, white girl. I mean, he didn't say white girl, but he said, tell him. What I was imagining is being on that side of being her homeboy, being her friend, being one of her supporters. That's what's making me laugh. Pretending if she was part of my team and she got up and said that shit, that obligation to pretend like, yeah, she got a checkmate, liberals. Pretending like she didn't say something fucking stupid. Because essentially, look, I don't like making fun of people's ignorance. I don't think it's wise. But she's like Dahmer, man. Fucking Dahmer. Dahmer was an idiot. But thank God to the power of white privilege, she gets a platform where she gets to say stupid shit like that. And you got to tell your kids that, when you grow up, you can be just like her. This is an adult saying this shit. Look, I used to think I could get deported for saying stupid shit like that, but not when you're white in this country. Yeah, anyway, so she's a representative from the great province of Saskatchewan. Oh, there we go. So don't see, her name is Rosemary Falk, F-A-L-Q, and she represents the Battleford, Lloydminster, Saskatchewan. All I know is you're from that fucking area. If you're from that region, you need to sit the fuck down. If I get back in comedy and I'm in that part of Saskatchewan, I'm bringing this shit up. God forbid she's in you. I'm not the roasting type, but oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, so what makes this so, I don't know. I guess it's carbon tax. We got a tax that's supposed to, whatever, man. It was just, it shit made me laugh, man. That's really what it comes down to. I'm not going to go into rationalize it. If it didn't make you laugh, then good for you. Yeah. Oh, man, this was amazing. Hold on. What is this? Anyone has something funny in the comments? Did they say anything? Anyway, I'm just going to leave it at that. But shout out to Homegirl in the background.
I guess what?
Smirking. Nod. Yo, I think the girl, that woman in the background, set her up. She read that shit before. She checked with him and said, I'm going to make this point in Parliament. And she said, yeah, good idea. That or she lost a fucking bet. Yeah. Okay, I'll leave it at that. This shit made me laugh, man. Shout out to Saskatchewan. Sit the fuck down. Sit down as opposed to usually when someone does something, like a province says, someone from that province says something worth being proud of, you would say stand up. But when you say some shameful shit, yeah, if you're from Saskatchewan, bow your head in shame. Bow your head in shame. Well, especially if you're a white person who took part in the genocide of First Nations. They, yeah, you, okay, Saskatchewan's got a lot of reasons to be embarrassed. I'm just saying icing on the cake shit. All right, I'm going to leave it at that. Last bit of news, that last bit of random thought is this week, Trevor Noah from The Daily Show announced that he'd be leaving the Daily Show. And I'm not going to make a long segment on this, but I still remember when Jon Stewart was the head of The Daily Show. He was in his place, and Trevor Noah replaced him, and how it took me a while to finally accept Trevor Noah as the host. But I think it was a great idea having Trevor Noah. Like, Jon Stewart was amazing as a host. I used to watch The Daily Show religiously, and when Trevor Noah took over, I felt like it was like mom dating a new man. So I hadn't fully accepted Trevor Noah was good. Don't get me wrong. He was talented. But a part of me still held on to the past. And it was difficult to accept Trevor Noah at first, even though he was doing a bang on amazing job. But the old guy in me was like, in my day, we had a white man to tell me this kind of news. Anyway, yeah. But Trevor Noah is right when I was finally accepting him as the host of The Daily Show, he leaves. Man, breaks my heart. But I don't know. I'm kind of excited. Like, I mean, it's a loss. I hope Trevor Noah's the best. I mean, I hope Trevor Noah the best in his ventures. Like, you know, he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it. what am I? Intimidating with, I'm going to try to use intimidation to get him back on the show. Here we go. Trevor Noah, get back to work. Anyway, yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. Yeah, I wish him the best. And I'm kind of excited to whoever replaces him, like, is going to have like some big shoes to fill. And they can either fuck that up or they can be an amazing decision. But yeah, man, I'm just going to leave it at that. Actually, okay, before I leave, I should take the time to acknowledge that last Friday, September 30th, was Truth and Reconciliation Day. And it's a day that, you know what I mean? The concept of reconciliation, like, I'm going to make this an episode onto its own because it's there's so many thoughts to, because I think about how it's fucking impossible for Canada to come back from what they did to the First Nation Indigenous population of this country. But I will say, take it as a sign of hope that other people believe that it is possible. The fact that we got this day to make it happen is like a first step into making that possible. So even though I have my, I'm a cynic, man. I feel like the old guy who can't change, who's just negative and bitter and shit like that. For me, it gives me hope that there are actually people who believe that it's still possible. And that's all I'm going to say about Truth and Reconciliation, that there's like an effort being made for that to happen, for truth and for Canada to reconcile with its past. And yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that, that I'm grateful for hope. That's really what I'm just trying to say. And that's my final note for episode 20. Title, Surrounded by Lonely People. And this concludes today's episode. All right. Hey, I should mention that my Twitter account is back at bblizak. You could holler at me at there. But I will be tweeting from either at bblizak or from the Shut Up Podcast, at Shut Up Podcast Twitter account. I didn't realize that you can change name. In the last episode, I probably said it was called Shut Up Podcast 1, but now I was able to rename it to Shut Up Podcast and the old Shut Up Podcast. It doesn't matter. Twitter, to holler at me on Twitter is at bblizak or at Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411 at gmail.com. And until further notice, until B Black can get off his ass and subscribe to and get his shit together, until further notice, to subscribe to Shut Up Podcast, just use the RSS feed link on the website. Yo, thank you for listening. I actually had fun doing this episode, especially with this one, with this thing here. That makes me giggle. Yeah, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Grow up, be black. All right, yo, peace.